Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. With a continued decrease in check volume of 7-8% annually, according to the Fed's 2021 survey, the time has come for financial institutions to embrace alternative methods to clear items to reduce costs and drive greater efficiencies. It may be time for your institution to consider a better clearing and settlement option than the source you're currently using. With me today is Tony Rossetti, Director of the Fiserv Clearing Network, and Brian Riley, Co-Head of Payments and Director of Credit at Mercator Advisory Group. They both share opportunities that financial institutions have today to reduce expenses and grow efficiencies through shifting to a private clearing network. Tony and Brian, it's great to have you with us today. Let's start by setting the stage on what's happening in the industry around item clearing, which is available to financial institutions today. Tony, why is this important in today's financial environment?
Well, why don't we start at the beginning? Let's go back a little bit and let's talk about, it was hard to believe that it's been almost 20 years since the adoption of Check 21, 18 years in October of 22. And, you know, that started the ball rolling. And when we started with the image processing and this electronic processing, everything was new and exciting, but it was expensive. And, you know, the big thing, the big caveat here is you got rid of transportation, but truthfully, to clear checks through image wasn't a cheap proposition. And then as time went on and more banks and financial institutions adopted that, it became less expensive and everybody got better at it. And prices decreased across those years and continued to decrease. Volumes were still there. You know, the check volumes weren't really impacted in the very beginning. But through the course of, I'm going to say, the last 10 years or so, there's been extreme price compression within the marketplace. So everybody's doing it faster, everybody's doing it better, and a lot of the cost around check clearing is removed. And the price point in today's world is probably, I believe, is going to be the lowest that it has been. To that, I think that we're on the fence right now. So as volumes continue to decrease, and they will continue to decrease. And really, I think the death of the check was greatly exaggerated, right? But they're still going to be there. And as the volume continues to decrease, I think we're at a tipping point where we had all that price compression early on. Now we're going into where I believe, that prices need to increase. They're going to start to increase. And I always parallel this to 35 millimeter film development. So many years ago, you used to take 35 millimeter film, you would take your photographs and send them off for 99 cents and got double copies. And in 3 or 4 or 5 days, you got back your prints and everybody was happy. Try to get that 35 millimeter film developed today. It's between $8 and $12 a roll. Why? No one's taking 35 millimeter photographs anymore. And by the way, the rolls themselves are like 20 or 25 bucks a piece. So what was kind of phased out through the use of everybody's cell phone, and probably everybody's got thousands of pictures on their cell phones, the same thing with check, I believe. So we're going into a point right now that volume is going to continue to decrease, maybe at the 7-8% rates that we've seen more recent years, but they're still going to be there.
You said a couple of things that were really interesting, Tony. And the first is that 35 millimeter film. I think if I asked any of my adult children about that, they'd say, "What's 35 millimeter film?" It's a whole industry that's moved along. But you know, the other thing you said, we talked about checks aren't going to die. They're going to decrease. I agree with that, but they're still there. I mean, I have my checkbook here, and I'm up to item number 8,000 in my checkbook, and I'm still going to use them for occasional things. You know, they don't fill all the needs they used to. So things like my mortgage payment, once it's set up, it's set it and forget it and just leave it there. But there's still times that you need it. And that really brings out the importance of engineering your clearance network properly. And really you just don't set that and forget it. As volumes go down and pricing models change and the whole dynamics change, it's really a good time to understand what's going on in your clearance process and to make sure that it's really managed and engineered to the best possible way.
You're right. So check clearing, let's say in the check clearing world, there is many entities in which you could clear checks through, whether that be the Federal Reserve, which is the all unto all, or a private sector where you're going into some correspondent bank relationship. You've got your bankers' banks relationships. You have private exchanges that are out there that exchange items. each one of these exchanges, and basically I believe that they're the reason why we're at a point in clearing that is so less expensive than it was when it started, is private sector is the one that drove that. And then the Fed just followed along. And to that point, and the point that I made as far as prices increase, are going to increase, those prices are going to increase, and they have. And really, the Fed sets the bar as far as where pricing is in the industry, and either private industry and the private sector tries to compete with the Fed and compete with each other, and that drives it down. But the Fed has been increasing prices, not at a per item price point, but at a, I'm going to say, at a check collection price point. They have initiated a participation fee. This participation fee is assessed to each one of the financial institutions. Although I'm going to say transactional pricing hasn't gone up at the Federal Reserve, that participation fee has. And what that is going to do is, and each bank has responsible for that participation fee, whether you do 10% of your work with the Federal Reserve through check collection, whether you do 100% of your work through Fed collection, you're assessed this participation fee, kind of like a tax. So what's that going to do? You're competing and you're going back to try to clear your checks at the least expensive price point and make enough revenue in order to cover your overhead. With the decline in the volume, and naturally, you prices need to rise in order to cover that. And based on how your financial institution is clearing those items, it might be an all-in-all one through one of the entities that I discussed around the Fed or correspondent or a private exchange. But some of the larger financial institutions are clearing items through multiple entries. And as the volume decreases, that multiple clearing pattern may not be as efficient as it once was. And it's the same as in when you're looking at the outsourcing of check processing. So you're going to outsource check processing because in-house is no longer effective. It's no longer cost effective. There's a lot of knowledge that's required in order to do a total check collection and find the least cost surroundings of each one of these items. So I think some of the larger financial institutions are start looking towards clearing items as a whole through an entity that would clear items for them, basically, where they don't need the knowledge set in order to do multiple shipments, the multiple sends to individual financial institutions, you know, less complexity into the process. And they're going to move towards a more holistic clearing instead of multiples.
Really, the focus is with looking at all the things going on in the space. You know, at the end of the day, when it comes to payment products, checks are considered at the, you know, the fossils, if you will, right? They're still there. Volumes are changing. People are moving to electronic things, but they won't die, right? Just like cash will never truly die. There's going to be niches that work. But there are some things that are going on there that are relevant and important to people in the check clearing business, right? And one of them talks to the creation of a big honest network, which is what Zelle is, right? They can, Bank A can clear with Bank B directly, and end of story. And kind of gets around the original need for a clearinghouse, if you will. Then the other side of the fence has to do with faster payments, and not just faster payments per se, but the whole acceleration of payments and clearing on checks. And I see this personally as a consumer when I pay my credit card bills, and I see those hitting and clearing a lot quicker than they ever did. But that tells you that there's things going on in that universe that a manager of a check processing business needs to pay attention to, right? It's the broadening of what it means to clear. It's the efficiencies, both in time and money, in clearance and so forth. And those seem to be key areas. And that brings us down the road to a private clearing network and talking about what the benefits of that would be. And the first thing that comes to mind, for instance, is on faster clearance. Right. I mean, the deposit window is different. You want to move it along, and that's important. And then you have cost efficiencies that can come. And I would think that there's significant risk reductions because, as you say, when the Fed clears, they're clearing zillions of volume. Right. And it's getting through the hurdle. But what happens to the exception items? And those fall in my view, those fall under the domain of a private clearing network where one might have better solutions.
And with a private clearing network, you're going to see faster clearing, definitely, right? As all the financial institutions that are exchanging items will be able to present and receive these items faster, which is really important in this whole process. Like you say, the faster, better, right? And with that faster and better collection process, what you do is you get the reduction of fraud. I mean, check is being hammered in the fraud world, right? I see it over and over. And
well, part of it is due that the regulations are not keeping up with the pace of technology, right? And the Zelle issue is a perfect example of that, where that irrevocability of a payment is not something that's been built into the system before, right? So when there's a scam, it's a lot harder to back it out, right? That's not the only example that you see. But, you know, when I think of, you and I both have about 40 years in this business, right? When I think of the role that Fiserv and, you know, Prentice, in my world, it was First Data, that you play is, boy, I can solve a lot of the things that keep me up at night by using Fiserv.
Yeah.
That's been an important area from the business perspective. And that's what I see when we're talking about the private clearing network, where do I want to roll my own? And if I do, I assume the risks, I assume the burden of management and so forth. Or do I want a boutique service or even a, you know, an engineered process that I can count on? And that's what brings me down the road to the private clearing network at Fiserv.
Yes. And the Fiserv clearing network, which has been around for quite a long time, you know, from the paper days. And it was built in order to provide services through the aggregated volume of all of the participants, right? And say, we always said volume's king. And the more volume that you have, the more efficient you could be. And then based with all the Fiserv technology, we were able to, I want to say, We're able to be more efficient in the collection process, where we, in some cases, we'll take, we don't, typically what a financial institution will do is collect your checks, you capture them, you store them. And at one particular point when you're done your process, you send an image cash letter off for collection. In the Fiserv clearing network, we look at that as a 24/7 window. So we're collecting checks throughout the day, you know, starting in the afternoon, based on your geographic location time zone. But we're collecting items and getting them off for collection, not sitting on them and creating bottlenecks throughout the evening where we're shipping at one time. And we're pushing them out. So we want to be the first one in, the first one to collect on that particular item. And in a lot of cases, that item will be received and posted same day by a financial institution that is receiving, especially in the large bank world, where they're accepting items early on and posting them same day. So our intention with the clearing network is to present as quickly as we can to accelerate the exception process. So in the case where we see all this fraud that's around there, let's take time out of that process. Let's get that item back as quickly as we can, so the receiving, the bank first deposit, the receiving bank can act quickly on that. So
for sure, that's one of the big deals about Fiserv from day one, right? Is if I'm an $8 billion bank or a $20 billion bank for that matter, do I want to go out and buy my own hardware and capitalize it over, you know, a 7-year period because it's really expensive? Or do I want a vendor that has the latest and greatest in technology that takes advantage and builds the economies of scale into the pricing? That's one of the wins that I've always seen in the process.
Well, I think I'm also curious to hear, you know, what do clients expect from their clearing network? Because we talked about the benefits, but on the client side, what are the expectations?
I would say the client is all expecting to save money. I mean, the least expensive proposition as far as the check collection, whether that's, you know, whether on a per item basis to have a low cost clearing. But again, like I'm saying, with the price compression that's going on, there's not a whole lot of, I'm going to say, to differentiate between the different clearing sources. There's not a whole lot. You know, you're saving, what, 20% on one, you know, on a penny. As now, as to Brian's point, whereas now the new thing is faster. Get it faster. Get it done as quickly as you can. Use your technology in order to present and collect and process where we can exchange funds almost, you know, everything should be next day, if not same day, right? And that's the most important thing around that we see is faster. Do it faster, and there'll be a lot of if you do it faster, you're going to find that you're going to have more and more, you're going to have less impact to your collection process as far as fraud, as far as any of the exception processes that need to take place. And you have to do that at a fair price. You have to be able to provide all those, that speed and collection, which we provide through the Fiserv Clearing Network, at a fair cost. And I believe we do that. And not only in the domestic world, we're also doing that for Canadian items. And we're approaching for about a year now that we've actually incorporated the collection of Canadian checks into our check collection process, where, you know, it's kind of the last door in the paper collection. We've had the ability to capture, process, and settle those Canadian checks along with the domestic items that are collected through the Fiserv Clearing Network. So I think that's really the next level, is for check collection, and choosing a private exchange is a private exchange that has a processing entity behind it, is going to be able to use that technology to provide accelerated clearing, accelerated collection, and then the whole accelerated exception process that is required, I believe.
You've both covered a lot, you know, from a high level view of why item clearing is so critical today. If you can leave the audience with some key takeaways, what would they be? Tony, I'll start with you.
I want to say that checks are still going to be here, right? I believe that with the implementation of FedNow, you're going to see less checks. And also, as our generation, the check writing generation ages, you're going to see less and less check writing. But they're still going to be there, and they're still an important payment vehicle. And we're still going to need to have the processes in place and still enhance them. And like I said, speed of collections is key here. We're still going to have to develop and continue to develop ways that we can present checks faster and settle them faster, so we are able to really take out, make it almost real time, is what I'm saying. Take out all the risk around the check and writing a check. That is the important thing. And with the Fiserv Clearing Network, I believe, and Fiserv technology, we're going to continue to go on, even in a declining environment, to provide the services and improve the services of check collection. Whether it's, you know, the last five checks that are out there, we're going to make sure that they get presented and received and processed as quickly as they can.
Well, at the end of the day, you know, checks are not the leading edge part of a business today, but they're still an anchor point for a financial institution. Somebody opens a bank account, they want to have a way to pull funds out without a card, right? They still want checks. So the volumes, certainly we agree, are decreasing, and you can see that in the Fed payment study, and it's not rocket science to know that checks and cash utilization is down. But it still remains a very important part of a financial institution. That's the first part. The second part is, to the extent that there's a lot of other stuff going on there, electronic clearances, growth in ACHs, FedNow, and on and on and on, financial institutions also need to make sure that check processing system works. And that's where the focus is on Fiserv's check clearance process, right? It's a private clearance network. It's got the functionality for a small bank that is the same equipment and process and function used for a top bank. And it levels the playing field for those that are engineering their process or trying to draw out cost efficiencies or process efficiencies.
Yes, and the connection with the Fiserv Clearing Network into that whole process. So that's key right there. So as more and more banks move into outsource of the item processing, like I always said, volume's king. We're going to continue to see that volume. We're going to continue to see it flow through the Fiserv Clearing Network, which will enable us to sustain enough volume to continue that development around all the efficiencies that need to be made going forward. We'll continue to develop processes that collect checks faster and have all the bells and whistles in order to provide that client with the exception processing and in a fast manner where you could react to all those exceptions.
Sounds good.
I would say one other thing is, we're going to be here as a check processor Fiserv. With the Fiserv Clearing Network connected with the Fiserv process, it's a win, right? You have, from when you accept the check to when you settle the payment for that check, we'll take care of all of it. So we're not only managing your check processing, we're also managing your check collection. And we have it all tied together that any questions around the process from accepting that item all the way through to the payment of that item is taken care of and managed by Pfizer.
Makes sense.
Tony and Brian, thank you so much for your insights and perspective. We hope to have you back on soon.